Price transparency is coming, and if you haven't been getting ready, it's a good idea to start now. Compiling a list of standard prices for 300 shoppable services and making them public as required by CMS is a big enough task by itself, but according to my guest today, there are some gray areas to the regulation that many healthcare organizations might not have considered. Gregory Adams, Executive Vice President at Panacea Healthcare Solutions and a former National Chair of HFMA, talked with me recently about a few areas where hospitals should be cautious when preparing for the January 1st deadline.
Frankly, the biggest challenge probably is meeting the January 1st, 2021 timeframe. As you can appreciate, we only have 4 months left, and there's quite a bit of work that needs to be done to pull the required information together that can turn out to be very challenging. In fact, it's important to note there's more than meets the eye in terms of the day requirements. For example, NDC and implied quantity level information needs to be there, fee schedules, plus contract information for both employed physicians and non-physician practitioners has to be included, and I think that's an important point to make. Additionally, hospitals may not be aware that the shoppable list is likely to include MSDRG and same-day surgery procedures and not simply the items listed in your charge master. The CMS list of 70 includes DRGs, private outpatient tests, outpatient surgery items and services. So as you can see, there's a fair amount of information that needs to be provided by January 1st.
This task, as you described it, certainly sounds gigantic, but it also sounds pretty clear. But I know there are some gray areas, some nuances in this final rule. Can you dig into that a little bit and describe one or two of those gray areas?
Sure. In fact, I think you're very right about that. Even though the regulation is very detailed, there are many gray areas where the requirements as written may, in fact, not seem logical. And I'll give you an example of that. So if you take a look, for example, in the consumer display or patient estimation system, hospitals must include MS-DRG 470, right? That's a hip and knee replacement procedure that's included in CMS's list of 70 shoppable items. And they must show not only the negotiated charge, but the de-identified lowest and highest negotiated charge. So we believe it would certainly be misleading to calculate and only show a consumer a minimum or maximum for those payers that pay specifically based on MS-DRG, when the rule requires that the shoppable item and DRG has to show the negotiated rate for all payers. So although it's not specifically required in the final rule, but in the interest of providing the consumer with the most meaningful information and ensure that the display de-identified low and high negotiated charger rate are comparable and inclusive mathematically for all payers, our company will regroup all inpatient records into an MS-DRG. We'll then calculate and display the negotiated reimbursement regardless of the payment method for each payer. And what I mean by this is you have a variety of payers that may pay based on any MS-DRG. You have other payers that may pay on a per diem. Some have a percentage of charge reimbursement. And so we believe that you really have to aggregate those so that it's comparable across the board for all payers that the hospital information is being provided.
There are a lot of pieces here that need to come together. And I imagine pretty easy to miss a few points. So I'm wondering if you can talk a little bit about some aspects of the final rule that haven't gotten much attention or have maybe been a little too easy to overlook as people were starting to scramble to get this done.
So as you mentioned, the details, there's a lot of details in there, but some of the things that hospitals may miss when they look at it is that this rule applies to all hospitals. So it's not only those hospitals that participate in Medicare. It applies to critical access hospitals, inpatient psychiatric facilities, LTACs, Seoul community hospitals, inpatient rehab facilities, children's hospitals, and others. So it's really inclusive. Again, I think that's an important point that can often get missed. The rule does not require federal payers such as Medicare and Medicaid be included. However, if a hospital does have contracts with third-party payers who provide insurance to the Medicare patients, as I mentioned before, such as Medicare Advantage plans, then these negotiated rates must also be included in the price transparency regulation.
I wanted to ask you one more thing before we close out. As listeners might know, at our digital annual conference on August 12th, our president and CEO, Joe Pfeiffer, interviewed CMS Administrator Seema Verma. And we released that interview as a podcast episode shortly afterward. So if anyone listening would like to hear that conversation, it's available on our website. So Administrator Verma talks about price transparency tools empowering the patient. And so, Greg, I'm curious what your thoughts are here on what are the opportunities and what are the responsibilities that healthcare organizations have in communicating with their patients about these tools and their financial responsibility?
I think that's a great question. And I think it really summarizes the whole thought process behind the price transparency legislation. So sort of my thoughts and comments are I've always thought, and I'm pretty sure this is consistent with HFMA's position, is that consumers should be able to shop around in advance of a routine test or elective procedure as they would for any other non-healthcare services. Many hospitals without the CMS sponsor will have already implemented some patient estimation systems that they utilize in-house already to provide patient estimates. This rule takes it a step further by requiring an online tool for the consumer, which quite frankly makes sense in this current day and time where patient engagement systems are becoming more widely implemented and consumers everywhere have become proficient on navigating the internet on their phones as well as their personal computers. I mean, nowadays, even the seniors are using personal computers, tablets, phones to search for different things, to look at different service pricing and the like. At Panacea, we believe providers that embrace the technology, in fact, as many other industries have done for years now, will likely see opportunities to increase their market share and patient satisfaction scores and improve on a more real-time basis their communications with their patients and community.
This segment was sponsored by Panacea. Panacea, a Bessler company, helps healthcare organizations improve their coding, compliance, and data integrity with frontline expertise in mid-revenue cycle management. Designed for healthcare professionals responsible for financial performance or compliance, Panacea delivers advanced auditing, compliance, charge master, strategic pricing, and revenue integrity consulting and technology solutions to help their clients proactively identify risks and opportunities and overcome today's challenges, providing the clear answers needed to swiftly and cost-effectively achieve quality results. More information is available at panaceainc.com.